Welcome back on this wet Wednesday in a week where nothing is happening. Coming up, could you be diabetic? How to test your own urine. And Mary-Louise O'Donnell frees a supermarket trolley using a simple coin. First though, the row over flat rate expenses that in any other week would be a footnote. And here is someone representing low paid workers who have a feeling is called Frank.
Yes.
I presume.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
So you're outraged, Frank.
Well, this is a slap in the face for hard-working, decent people who are getting up early in the morning and checking.
Thank God. I'm afraid I have to interrupt you there, Frank.
What?
Breaking news on Martin O'Neill and Roy Keane. We go live to a press conference at FAI HQ. John Delaney is speaking.
Tribute to Martin and Roy for some great nights out on the road. They were so good. There was one night I couldn't remember which hotel I was staying in. Tony O'Donoghue, question.
Martin O'Neill, do you regret the way that your time in charge of Ireland has finished?
And can everyone be quiet because Martin is a very weak voice.
Thanks, John. Well, yes, Tony, we set out with a very specific set of goals.
But you haven't scored any of them in the last six games.
Well, it wasn't my fault if the players are rubbish, and I'd like to commend the lads for trying but failing to rise above their limitations.
Roy Keane, you must be fierce frustrated today.
I'm frustrated every day, Tony. Yesterday I was frustrated at the self-service checkout in Tesco because there was no barcode on my Apple. These are the things we're up against. But did I sit out training just because I had a broken leg? No. No, I didn't.
And that concludes the sacking of Martin and Roy.
I wasn't sacked, John.
Sorry.
I walked out.
Not for the first time.
Whose Mick McCarthy impression was that? There we leave that press conference because on the phone now is Eamon Dunphy reacting to this. Eamon.
This is no surprise, Sean. As I said in my podcast, The Stand, available on iTunes, it was a mistake to include Roy Keane on that management ticket from the start.
Even though you once said he was the greatest man on the planet.
There's been a lot of water under the bridge since then, Sean, as I illustrate in my podcast, The Stand, available now.
Yeah, but you more or less demanded the FAI appoint Martin O'Neill back then.
A lot of water. Listen to my podcast.
Anyway, we'll let you get back to your coffee, Eamon Dunphy.
Yeah, that was 5 minutes ago. I want tea now.
Brian Kerr joins us live from the M50. Brian.
Yeah, I'm doing a job to the airport, Sean.
You were that soldier. What sort of emotions will Martin O'Neill be feeling today?
Well, he'll be feeling Melodian for a good few days. Absolutely bleeding brutal. But, you know, that's football for you, Sean. You know, it's putrid.
Thanks, Brian. We'll let you get back to the...
He's after getting sick, is he? I'll have to add the silage charge on now.
A big payoff in prospect now for O'Neill and Keane. We asked the FAI, will that be funded once again by O'Brien? Okay, well, let's go back to that press conference where John Delaney is just wrapping things up now.
English dollar managers, they took them all away. Jack Grealish, Declan Rice, they decided not to play. Oh, not since the famine has there been a darker day. So for Ireland and corporate hospitality, up the IRA.
I now declare the opening of the John Delaney Memorial Free Bar.
How are you, fellas? What can I do for you today? Tattoo or piercing?
Oh, God, no. I just want a haircut.
Relax, Tish. I'm here all the time. Hi, Jordan, my man. You probably didn't spot me there. It's Murph's. I have a booking.
Ah, yeah, there you are. Beard trim and a cut for your pal, is it? Can I get you anything?
Sure. Two old fashions, please. And use bourbon.
Yeah, no prop.
Wow, this place is so on fleek.
You two should be ashamed of yourselves.
Hi there.
Get out.
People are never going to be happy with us.
Don't mind the haters, T. She totally killed it with your Ardesh speech last week, out, man.
Are you sure people didn't realise I was just making a load of promises that we could have easily implemented in the budget we had, like, literally just a few weeks ago?
No way, dude. The squeezed middle will lap up those lower taxes promises, and you're going to save the polar bears from melting with the carbon tax.
Even though we're just using carbon tax hikes to fund income tax cuts. Like, Mickey Martin really went cray-cray in the jaw over that one.
Man, you worked out the old man so good. He gets extra cork when he's mad.
Yeah, his voice gets so high only langers can hear him. Hashtag Goyra out loud.
Look, we're beasts in the polls right now. No one's even talking about the housing thing anymore.
That's because there's a tenner off toasters for Black Friday.
Wow.
Voters are so thick they would probably elect Harvey Norman just for making cuts to the price of an espresso machine.
Well, a sandwich toaster more like. I read the focus group reports on turf munchers. If you stuff them with enough tato and white bread, they forget their own names.
Totes. This time of year they just want to laugh at culchy kids falling over plastic tractors on the toy show while sitting on a half-price sofa licking butter and club orange off a hurley stick.
Wow.
No wonder they think I'm a man god.
You know, they can't believe we've lived this long without seeing the rays of Tralee. Not even by accident. And what even is a Dottie Oshie?
O'Shea, I think.
What?
If you speak more than three words of Irish, you're legally entitled to get a television presenting job.
Oh.
It's actually in the Constitution, even though the language is as dead as the eyes of a Labour canvasser in a Kent centre.
Man, you owned Mary Lou McGeddon as well. Well done, my man.
As much as I enjoy watching her lust after my power, allure and romance with the political correspondents, trolling her every week kind of feels mean at this stage.
Serious?
Like, the rest of the party looked like the contestants in a T.G. Cahar reality show searching for a boy band modelled on the Saw Doctors. But she went to Trinners.
No way. What the hell happened to her?
Probably stepped on the wrong Bowron in the buttery and has been paying for it ever since.
That's too bad.
Anyway, she probably can't remember it now. Poor old lady.
Toads, she's like in her 40s.
All right, you're old-fashioned, sir.
What?
Well, his politics might be, but at least he'll have a slick-looking haircut when you're through with him.
Oh, very good, Murphs. High five.
No, not on my hip barbers slash tattoo parlour, man.
All right. I was getting sick of that anyway. Hmm. Fist bump?
Most deaf.
Oh, did I do it wrong?
I'm winded, dude.
Nope, I did it just right. Cheers, Murphs.
Welcome back to Morning Ireland. It's 70 minutes past 8. I know you already know that since you can see it on your phone, your watch, your car's dashboard, and I told you the time just before the break. But apparently, it's the way things have always been done, and we must continue to do it no matter how anachronistic. Speaking of anachronistic, the DUP annual conference is on this weekend in Belfast, an event to turn the stomach of any Irishman, apart from one, Tommy Gorman.
The pageantry, the history, the bigotry. Truly, this DUP conference is the most conference-y conference in historical history.
I'm getting another coffee.
I started by meeting the guest of honour, Boris Johnson, as he arrived at George Best International Airport.
Yeah, an airport named after a philandering alcoholic. I love it. Bring me hither.
But his love for Belfast's grey and concrete land began to change in the taxi ride.
Why does everything look like 1972? And why is everyone frowning? Good Lord, does it always rain?
To cheer himself up, he opened another popular socialising app, Tinder.
What? Everyone's a cross between an Amish person wearing cheap polyester and tinned meat. Good coavers.
He looked at Unionist Tinder. I looked at him. He looked at me, and that look said it all.
Driver, let me off on the Falls Road. I might get the kicked out of me, but at least I'll have some fun while it happens. Yeah, wah, Weetos, Ford Mondeo.
As the future Prime Minister asked a tattooed group of men where the nearest private gentleman's club was, we journeyed on to the venue for this grand event. A hotel fit for a king, the Crown Plaza. 4 stars, just off a motorway, with convenient parking and a design so bland, I drove past it 4 times. I caught up with some of the attendees and asked them about Brexit.
Now, our situation is that the EU is run by Sinn Féin IRA murder gangs.
What about a hard border?
A hard border is what we need. Mm-hmm. Stop these papist free staters coming up to Newry, stealing our tenants' lager.
Are you afraid of losing jobs?
We in Northern Ireland have a proud history of never having created any jobs.
I see.
As an economy based entirely on money from Britain, uh-huh, we have nothing to worry about from leaving the EU.
But wouldn't a hard border affect trade?
Not at all. My 2,000-acre farm's been in my family since we stole off the Fenians in 1609. My father and grandfather smuggled cars down south using criminal gangs. If it was good enough for them, it was good enough for me. So no surrender to the IRA.
Then Arlene Foster took to the stage.
Take it to the bastard king.
Thank you.
Sit yourself down.
Stormont has been shut longer now than the Harlan and Wolf cranes. Our economy is stagnant. We've no coherent policies other than wishing it was the 1950s. So despite Northern Ireland democratically and overwhelmingly voting to remain in Europe, we will ensure the hardest of hard Brexit, even if it means burning the whole province to the ground.
Emotional, stirring words there. Tommy Gorman considering taking the soup. RT News Belfast.
You're through to the voicemail of John 360,000 a year Delaney, Chief Executive for Life of the FAI. I'm out raising funds for a new manager, but don't worry, my salary won't be affected. And also, I do not support the IRA, but they did put out some very good songs, to be fair.
John, me old mucker, Mac here. Some nights we had, eh? You, me, the Prawn Sandwich Brigade, boys of the old brigade. Look, I'm clearly the most qualified man for the job, because I've done it before and it ended in disaster, and I'm as Irish as a bag of coal. I'd love another crack at the lads, or any lads. Bugger off, there's a queue here, and I still have 20p to go. So yeah, John, call me. I'll be at this number for the next hour, provided it doesn't start snowing.
Well, there now, I heard you're looking for a Dundalk gaffer who's had a lot of success, which I had in the 80s there. I put my heart on the line for the country before, some burnt in 94 there, but you're the gaffer, you're the boss, the book stops with you. A town holds its breath.
And that, what's that?
Stephen Kenny. Ah, oh, no. This has been a right banana skin.
Hello, it is Mick O'Hare, Mick O'Dwyer here, John. Look, I heard you have a vacancy going for management to Bannister. Look, it doesn't matter what sort of a ball it is. My coaching is the same for whatever sport it is. Just make them do laps, up and down, up and down. And sure, look, I'll only take my expenses, John. You know, I'll do it for the love of the game, for the love of the game. Give us a ring in Waterville, good man.
Whose answering machine is that? You know who it is, John. Yeah, don't have a lot to do now at the minute, thanks to you. Thanks to your mutual agreement. Mutual? Just let's say, you know, we're looking out, John, waiting in the long grass. Because the grass isn't cut properly in the FAI anyway. That's why it's always so long. I'll be waiting there for you. Eyeballing, John, from a distance. Like a sniper's distance.
Pronto, John Delano. It's me, Gio, the man with the cat in the sack. You see what you got when you replace a Ferrari with two Cornettos, you stupid bisto. You have omelette on your face. Still, I am a man of shagiveness. I give you second pants, as God is my Weetabix. My English is getting bitter, and I am ready and Willy Wonka to serve again. Ciao, grazie.
RT Radio 1 News with Brian Jennings. A very good evening to you. Journalists have taken to Ouija boards and voodoo dolls in desperate attempts to divine some news from a sudden and unexpected current affairs drought. To fill time, editors focused on things we don't usually care about, like foreign news and poor people. Generic reporter of our political staff had this barely there filler.
After the toss of a coin, the row over the abolition of fixed expenses for low-paid workers was chosen as the subject for Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and the Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald's weekly panto spat.
Panel beaters, Taoiseach, kitchen porters, dockers, nurses, and hold on till I turn the page of the golden pages.
That's a bit rich, isn't it?
Yes, you are. Unlike the undertakers, taxidermists. Wow, is that even still a thing?
You come in here pretending to care about the povs, deputy, but you were hobnobbing with the super rich in New York.
Excuse me, there were no hobnobs there, Taoiseach.
Was
not at $400 a plate, you stuck up.
That's a bit rich considering how the Shinners are stuck up north when it comes to forming a government. Hashtag touche.
You little...
Later, Deputy MacDonald was in the wrong place again for a photo commemorating 100 years of women's suffrage. She explained what happened.
Are you writing this down?
Yep.
As I said, it was a simple misunderstanding. Mary Hannafin misunderstood how terrifying I can be. So when I explained that she was sitting in my usual seat in the doll and threatened to rave her out of it and then got the ushers to threaten her as well, she agreed to move. It was nothing really.
But Mary Hannafin says you bullied her in the chamber.
Well, that's a bit rich coming from her.
The Sinn Féin president went on to give journalists a look dirtier than a voicemail from Twink. She said her meeting with Republican abuse victim Maria Cahill had been challenging.
It was a good meeting. I reiterated my unreserved apology.
But she did say she felt worse after the meeting, Mary Lou.
I was nice to her, so just leave it out.
And what does your nice approach look like?
Excuse me?
Could you demonstrate what you mean by nice?
Okay. It was like, hi there, Maria. First of all, you're in my seat, so move it or else. That's how nice I was, yeah?
Generic reporter, Leinster House, November, 18 Hours of Darkness Daily, RT News.
My fellow Americans, happy Thanksgiving. The tremendous holiday invented by Americans. What a great country. And I don't have to buy gifts. Terrific.
It's fine by me. I don't need more frilly panties chosen by horny interns.
This year, I'm thankful for how forgiving I am. I don't hold grudges. Never have. This is why I've forgiven the Saudis for whoever they may or may not have brutally done something to. Because who knows? Who do you believe? The CIA or a despot that buys billions of dollars of arms from us every year?
I know who I believe.
Malone. Monica, I'm thankful for your support.
And I'm thankful you are so slow on uptake and that I have separate bedroom.
But I won't forgive my predecessor, Barack Osama bin Obama, America's only foreign president. He was so weak. Every year, he'd pardon a turkey without a trial, without finding what these giblety criminals had done. They're probably immigrants.
Turkeys are native to America.
There will be no turkeys pardoned this year. They should be stuffed, just like me after dinner, and roasted, which I refuse to be at the White House correspondent. Respondents loses dinner. I have a great sense of humor, by the way. The best!
Well, you must have sense of humor to make yourself that color orange.
I went orange with rage when I realized the lamestream media are condemning Ivanka, for using a personal email account to do White House business stuff. Nothing Ivanka sent was classified.
Or even literate.
Exactly. Those emails were just leveraging a privileged and totally earned position in the White House to make money. Who hasn't done that? If that's a crime, we should all be locked up.
Now that would be a good Thanksgiving.
So my fellow Americans, please enjoy your turkey dinners and Black Friday tomorrow, which is like Black History Month, but better because more poor people get trampled.
Oh, God.
And remember, at Thanksgiving, we must spend quality time with our families.
That's not in my contract.
Especially those who might be doing some quality time very soon. Which reminds me, Eric, Don Jr., don't forget to bring the candied yams. I love those vegetables.
Do you mean the food or your sons?
Both. God bless America, my rising cholesterol, and the imminent termination of Robert Mueller. No collusion! I'm professional doomsayer George Lee. This week, politicians accidentally began discussing climate change, so I'm back on the telly. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar had this to say.
This government is committed to ensuring that our race isn't obliterated in the nightmare of soaring temperatures and rising sea levels, which is why we've done absolutely nothing to meet our 2020 targets. And to show you what a priority it is, I've got my main man, Richard Bruton. Really? On the case.
Thanks, Taoiseach. Well, as Minister for Things No One Else Wants to Do, climate change is my top priority, along with broadband, bins, RT, pylons, media mergers, Onpost, and the other 230 items on my portfolio, which I'm
Richard Bruton there, a man who, like me, has a great future in Fine Gael behind him. In the Dáil, proof that absolutely nothing is happening politically, as the Taoiseach and Micheál Martin managed to stage a half-hearted squabble about carbon tax.
Did you or did you not commit to an increase in the carbon tax, Taoiseach? But moving forward, you said taxes were going backwards moving
yeah,
forward.
Yeah, this government is totes committed to environment, which is why I know so little about our own commitments, I'm having to Google what I said on my iPhone. Really, that's how little I care about this or any issues.
Well, this is an absolute small to medium-sized outrage.
I think I disagree.
No. Can we go home now?
Yes, Queen.
Talk of climate change briefly woke up Green Party leader Eamon Ryan, who is still in the Dáil, apparently.
Hello, Deputy Ryan.
Oh my gosh, they've noticed I'm still here. Ooh, what do I say? What do I... We have got to do something before our planet turns into a lifeless, hot, wet ball.
OMG, total lol. Hot, wet ball. Scarlet for you, Ryan.
What did I say?
Captain Planet.
Oh, diddums.
90s reference there.
Stop it.
Morto.
Finally, to end a half-hearted debate on the most important issue facing civilization, here's Danny Healy-Ray.
How's your how come it's warm in the summer and cold in the winter? And if we can make the planet warmer, then why can't we make it bright at night and dark during the day? Sure, it's all God's work and nothing else. And 24-hour sunlight would help the poor farmer driving home after his wee 6 or 7 pints to see which side of the ditch to sleep in. 'Twould fit the government better to to take on the road of doom.
George Lee, despondent that I didn't wait long enough to become finance minister, but happy I'm not reporting on cows for a change. RT News.
Oh, the dundrons.
Now it's time for liberal ladies.
Okay, three extra hot Americanos.
I prefer to call them Guatemalos, Lorenzo, dear.
Don't mind, Aoife, Lorenzo. Thank you so much. Gracias, hermano.
What was that about, Orla?
He's visually impaired.
Oh, I knew that. I just didn't want to...
Great, and now you're making fun of speech impediments. Enjoy your coffee, mi querida hermana.
Girls, please. Have you learned nothing from our stand-up paddleboard yoga calming classes?
Of course, Aoife. We were just having some robust discourse
among gals.
Plus, Lorenzo's arms are just gorge.
Objectify much?
So, as I was saying, I was at a conflict resolution talk at the weekend.
Yes, girl. How was it?
Powerful, insightful, inspiring.
Was this a conference in Belfast?
You mean the DUP Darklands?
I know, right? There was a really dreadful woman next to me. Mm-hmm. She was like wearing a crucifix and drinking a totally anti-fair trade coffee from a non-keep cup.
Cow.
I almost got sick. Had I not been juicing this week and therefore had nothing in my stomach.
Yeah.
Which reminds me to put a Salpidine in my Americano.
Ugh. I can't stand people of Northern Ireland.
Neither can I. They're so nerny.
They're just so bigoted and intolerant. No reproductive rights. Like, hello?
No respect for LGBTQ DCPE.
Exactly.
VRSD DDD BQUL.
I agree.
MZ plus communities.
Ugh. All they do up there is speed on the M1 and wash their cars in a gross simulacrum of sexual assault.
Dinosaurs.
I'm so glad we're a far more progressive society here in Ireland.
So, Orla, how are your kids?
Well, Formica is doing great at toddler mindfulness.
And Peppermint?
He's doing fine. He's in fourth class and...
And? You can tell us, Orla, dear. We don't judge.
Never judge.
So, there's this girl who wears pink, by the way, and has a glitter princess lunchbox.
Gender typing much?
She's bullying Peppermint.
Hun, she's probably acting out her insecure mother's issues stemming from a patriarchal hegemony, practiced no doubt by the Alpha Father.
My husband wants him to stand up for himself, but I don't want Peppermint to conform to heteronormative masculine types.
So he chooses to be weak and submissive.
Excuse me? How dare you?
I respect his choices. To be effectively impotent.
Oh, you.
Choices.
Choices. Yes, of course.
And they're in fourth class, did you say?
The poor girl's acting the brat because her demagogic father...
No, the girl is in junior infants.
Well...
That's elder abuse.
Yes, totally.
I mean, her father is basically a hashtag MeToo waiting to be tweeted.
You're so right.
These days, there are such nuances to all the abuse. I mean, my Fionn's art project was marked as a fail by their teacher.
That's assault.
Just because they didn't hand it in.
He must have been so upset.
Fionn is non-binary.
Oh.
I mean, their refusal to hand in the project was an art performance in itself.
Yeah.
They made it and then flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah.
Like the Banksy shredding thing.
What kind of a teacher is she?
Probably raised by nuns, the poor girl, versed in shame and anti-choice discourse. The ignorant wagon.
It was a male teacher.
Rapist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, my Fitbit is beeping. Gotta dash, girls. Chat next week.
Of course, hon.
Adios, hermanas.
Bye.
Welcome back. Now, this weekend, you might be thinking of going to the cinema for some reason. Here to look at some films.
Is me? Yeah, great. Lots of flicks in your local Omniplex right now, Marion.
My what?
Yeah, the Moving Picture House big screens definitely sound. €57 for popcorn, pre-popped and black bin bags. The magic, the experience. Is that someone on the phone? Put it away or I'll slap you. Yeah.
So what's out at the moment, Dave?
Oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody. The story of Freddie Mercury, but it's only PG and aimed in America. So the pretend Freddie Mercury, the gayest man ever, didn't like being gay, mad.
Right.
So no real sex, drugs, or rock and roll, or any of that sort of stuff, you know. But the music is fantastic, you know. We are the champions. Yeah.
Anything else?
What else is there out there? Yeah, Baker Street Cumberbatch does the voice for the Grinch. How Sherlock stole Christmas. Terrible, really. They made the Grinch nice. Now he's less Roy Keane and more Robbie Keane. Do you know what I mean? Because here, give me that look now, Marion. So can I just move on? Is that the best thing to do, yeah?
Moving on.
This week also sees yet another Robin Hood movie.
Now,
released.
I did see one of those. Kevin Costner and that song.
Everything I do it for megabucks. Brilliant, you know. Terrible, awful,
stuff. What? This new version has our pal Irish music god Bono's daughter Eve in it. She's playing Maid Marian. That's your name, Marian.
Go on, Dave.
Eve says she learned everything she knows from her dad, so she helps Robin Hood steal from the rich and evade tax to ensure there's not much profit left to give to the poor.
Okay, let's wrap it up now.
How about a movie joke to finish, Marian? Yeah. So what do you call a transparent android?
I said no.
See-through PO.
Okay. See-through PO. Please leave.
Yeah. Okay, good luck.
Good evening, I'm Hugh Edwards. You know how this works. It's been one short week since Theresa May unveiled her final Brexit master plan, driving out half a cabinet, half the value in sterling, and increasing audience figures for I'm a Celebrity, where the country has united against Noel Edmonds. What's left of the Prime Minister bot staggered to Brussels to meet Jean-Claude Juncker.
Rest assured, I have done everything in my power to deliver the best deal. Just this morning, I marched into Mr. Juncker's office, looked him straight in the shoes, and demanded that he tell me what I had to agree with, so I could get this whole thing over with and lose the next election.
Apologies for sound interference there. The May bot was still dialing up when she was delivering those words. Meanwhile, Simon Noveny, the Irish foreign minister and part-time nylon suit hanging on a bollard, was surprised when we asked him his opinions.
Sorry, the camera's on? Really? Well, Ireland is definitely a key part of the talks, just like me. There's no way we were only being used by the EU as leverage and we'll be forgotten as soon as the deal is sealed, just like me. No, or will we? Oh, I don't know. Can we start the interview again?
Finally, so-called leader of the opposition, Jeremy Corbyn, responded to criticism that he hasn't a coherent stance on Brexit.
My position on Brexit is perfectly clear, and that position is that it's my turn to have a go. Will I tell you what I'll do if I'm elected? Of course not. Do I know what I'll do? No. What matters is I dislike Europe, but I also dislike the United Kingdom, whose colonial past is shameful. But most of all, I dislike England, and that is why I should be Prime Minister. Now excuse me while I get into a Volkswagen Golf.
So there you have it. 2 years since the Brexit vote, and all we have learned is that the only place our leaders know how to lead us is up the garden path. Hugh Edwards in new broadcasting house, but in my mind building a nuclear fallout shelter in Switzerland, BBC News.